Welcome back to All Rights Reserved, your exclusive entertainment law and law school podcast with your hosts, Kayla and Suna. Today, we're going to be talking about how to stay sane in law school, because at the end of the day, no matter how busy you are, no matter what you have on your plate, your mental health is what matters the most.
And you know that this is my favorite topic. I've definitely talked about it in our previous episodes, but I think this is the most important episode we're going to have to date. People may think otherwise, but I think that talking about mental health is so important because we want to share our experiences with you, because I just want to let you know that you're not alone, and a lot of people struggle with this. So it's really important to talk about it and learn about yourself, because you need to have a stable mind in law school. So we would love to talk about our experience with mental health in law school. So soon you get us started on, you know, what you did in order to stay sane.
Right. Yeah. It's an experience. I mean, just some background. I've struggled with anxiety since, I'd say, like, college was when I first started to really feel it. Like, I think in high school, I was always like really, you know, studious, getting all my stuff done or whatever, but I don't think the anxiety actually kicked in until college, and like being away from home for the first time, especially being in a different country for the first time, like living away.
It also manifests when you're older.
Right. Oh, totally. Yeah. And like, I think that, it's just, you learn coping skills as you experience it. And I think that obviously it's different for everybody, and anxiety can be really challenging, especially if you're trying to talk to someone or confide in someone who doesn't have it and like doesn't get it and is just like, oh, just stop being anxious. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I wish.
Just breathe.
Yeah. So in the years before law school, when I first moved to LA, like had the post-grad blues after undergrad, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, that was when my anxiety got pretty bad. It hasn't been to the point where it's been like debilitating, thankfully, but it was definitely very consuming and more of a common theme in my life than I feel like it is now. Like, I feel like it's easier for me to pinpoint what is triggering it in comparison to how it was before. So I sort of learned how to deal with things. And part of that is also just doing some self-discovery and like, working through your own issues or recognizing your own patterns and like actively working on yourself. So I kind of had like a nice baseline before I got to law school, which was nice in retrospect, because I think that if I started law school right out of undergrad, my experience might have been very different. The main thing that I learned is that I definitely need balance in order to be calm and be able to attack everything that I need to get through. Like being busy is great. Like I love being in like that, sort of like productivity, like high where you're just like in your computer and like you're being super fast and like you're getting everything done. And it's like, it's a really nice feeling. But sometimes you have so much work that like you can get burned out. So that's sort of been my journey throughout law school, has been learning how to not get burned out, except I haven't really mastered it. I still get burned out, just like anyone else really does.
We all do. It's only natural.
Yeah. So I think like when I think back to 1L, something that I struggled with internally was like, you know, law school, I feel like can be a very alienating experience. Like, because most of the time you're at home studying, trying to learn these new concepts for the first time, and you haven't done this before. And it's hard to explain to your friends who aren't in law school how challenging it is. Like to them, they feel like maybe it's just like undergrad and like you can mess around if you want to. And I'm like, no, like law school is a different beast. And I went into it wanting to treat it like a job, because my job is to be a student and to learn the law and pass the bar. So that was kind of difficult. And I found having that, I had to say no to a lot of things. Like my friends would ask me to go out and I'd be like, I'll stop by for a little bit. Like I would compromise and see them. But then when I had to leave early, it was always this whole like, why are you leaving? It's like, on the one hand, it was nice, cause like, yay, they want me to stay. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, you guys just don't get it. And I'm so tired of having to explain myself.
I know.
So that was kind of one thing that I struggled with. Mm-hmm. But what was your 1L experience like while we're on that topic?
Mine was awful, to be completely transparent with you. It really sucked. It took me a long time to figure out like what made me happy and what, you know, how I was able to balance between law school and my personal life. And I think going into it, I mean, similar to you, I don't think I really had anxiety symptoms until I started studying for the LSAT. Mm. They weren't really prevalent in college. I went to a relatively fun party school at UC Santa Barbara. So, you know, I didn't take school as seriously as maybe I should have. But by the time I started studying for the LSAT, I knew this was the big leagues. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to do really well on the LSAT. And that's when I started like manifesting, having like panic attacks and, you know, head fog. So it was a very bizarre situation. It kind of just like got drastically worse as time went on. Mm-hmm. And then when I started law school, I prioritized studying. I did not see any of my friends. You talk to any of my friends, they will say Kayla was
just MIA.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I actually have a friend who's a 1L right now, and she was saying, and she talks to me all the time and always wants to hang out. And I think to myself, like, how are you able to hang out with people right now? Like I would go to class, and then right when I would come home from class, I would study, I would eat dinner, and then I would study more. And I just like didn't understand how people didn't take it that seriously. But what I didn't realize was I was totally burning myself out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't retaining any information. I ended up stressing myself out way more than I needed to. And it was just awful. And I just wasn't retaining. And like, honestly, for the amount that I studied, I should have gotten an A in every class. Like, it is bizarre that I didn't do as well as I had like planned to do. But the reason for that was because I was so burnt out and I wasn't retaining. So, and then by the time 2L came around and I like figured out what worked for me and how to balance and stuff like that, I started getting like significantly better grades with studying way less. So, I mean, I feel like I had to get my mental health in order. Mm-hmm. And the worst part about it was, first of all, it was giving me head fog.
Yeah.
So my anxiety makes my head feel very heavy and it makes things like fly across the page. Right. Oh. So during my first midterm, it was contracts. And I remember it was like a 45-minute test. And I look at it and everything is just like flying across the page. And like, my heart rate just went up and I had to leave to go wash my face. It was crazy. I've never experienced anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
I've never needed to take a break or anything. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized that I had an issue and I needed to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I think that like, it's hard when you start experiencing these kinds of things for the first time, because you're like, what do I do? Like, what do I do to fix it? Like, and I think that what you said earlier is a really great point about you were burned out all the time from studying and you didn't do as well as you did when you weren't studying all the time. And I think the reason for that is when you're operating out of fear, like when you're in survival mode, essentially, that's how I feel like I get when I'm really anxious. I feel like I'm just in survival mode and I'm scared. I don't feel safe internally. And it just like, I'm doing things, but they don't fully register for me. Like I have like the brain fog as well. Not so much with like the words flying across the page, but just like, I'm looking at it. I'm doing what I need to do, but it's just not there. Like it just doesn't.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that that's a really, really great point. And like it proves or supports our assertion that, you know, your mental health is really important because you need a solid foundation to be able to do all of the things that you need to do. And you have to find ways to cope with it when you do feel anxious.
So I do have a question.
Yeah.
So when you were a 1L, so hypothetically, when you went to your friends' houses, right?
Uh-huh.
Would you feel guilty that you were not studying? Because
100%.
I constantly felt like I was like, oh my God, what are they doing? Oh,
I wasn't
God,
fully
do I need
there.
To be studying?
Yeah. Like it, right? The way that it felt was like, so basically I have a great group of Turkish friends from home out here. And, they have all of their birthdays almost in what feels like for me in September. Like a lot of my friends have birthdays in September and some in October. So like my fall social calendar is usually really busy because it's also when people come back from their summer vacations or whatever. Right. And I just remember during my first semester of 1L, I was invited to all these birthday things, celebrations, and like, obviously they're my friends and I love them. So I want to go and like say happy birthday and like share the day with them a little bit. And like, I didn't want to cancel outright. Cause like internally, yeah. I'm also like good Turkish girl. Like it would be rude if I didn't go type of a thing.
You have to.
It's like one of those, I mean, I wanted to go, but I also felt like obligated in some ways just because like I would want people to show up for my birthday too, you know, if that makes sense. But anyway, so I would go and like my compromise with myself was I'll stay as long as I am home by midnight and in bed by midnight because I need to get up the next day if it's a Saturday or a Sunday and I have to do legal writing or I have to do my readings. Right. So I would go and like it's all really nice and like getting a break from law school. But then in the back of my mind, it's like this ticking time, not time bomb, but it's just like there's a countdown where I'm like, okay, I have like 30 minutes left. Okay, I have 15 minutes left. I really have to leave. And then
you weren't
enjoying
yourself.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, in the beginning I was because it was a nice break, but then the guilt would start to set in later on where it was starting to get late and like I was getting really tempted to stay longer, but then I was like, no, we have to do these things. We promised ourselves this sooner, like that kind of a thing. And it was just, yeah, like I think that after 2 months, I got a better handle on my schedule. And then during the month of October, I couldn't really see anyone because we had midterms, we had deadlines, we had all that. And I had to say no to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that was kind of stressful for me. And like, it gets very overwhelming if you also feel like you can't relate to anyone, that's why it's good to have friends in law school because they understand exactly what you're going through. So it's just like this whole balance thing again. And it was just, I was always just going between like wanting to be alone versus hating that I had to be alone and study.
For me, like every time I would go out with my non-school friends, I would constantly be on social media. And that's why social media is so bad for
it's
you
so
because
bad.
People are sending me like photos of themselves studying. And then I'm like, oh my God, why aren't I home studying? So then I'm thinking of that the whole time and I'm not enjoying myself. I actually cut out drinking. I didn't even drink. So like my friends would have birthdays or whatnot. And I would go out with them, but I wouldn't drink. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's not like I'm against it or anything. I've never been a big drinker, but ever since I started law school, I cut it all out. I was like, I don't want to deal with this. I need my brain.
Yeah.
Molecules, well,
also,
chemicals.
Alcohol can trigger anxiety as well because it's a depressant. So it's like, I definitely think that it's a good idea to not party when you're in law school just because you need your
body. In moderation.
Well, yeah, in moderation, obviously. But it's not like undergrad where there's always a party to go to. Like, because I mean, there were a lot of 1Ls that moved into the building last year because I was living in the student apartments. And a lot of people were partying. And I was just like,
okay.
I don't know. Well, personally, it was too much for me. But I think that cutting out alcohol is always a good idea just because you want your mental clarity.
I do have to admit though, so whenever we would have like bar reviews and stuff, and for those who don't know what a bar review is, you will get to know during law school. And it basically is just like a huge party where your school basically like runs out a club. And so all of our bar reviews, I had more fun at those because I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, okay, these people are in my class. They're not studying either. So why not just have fun? And for some reason, that's why I would enjoy myself. It was like the weirdest thing. My brain was like playing tricks on me, but I mean, it's just like so weird when you think about it, you know?
It's just very different. I think that also with law school, especially in your first year, since you're taking all of your classes with the same group of people in your section, it feels kind of like high school in some ways too.
Literally.
And that was actually, I remember getting invited to the bar reviews and I like purposefully wouldn't go just because like I needed some separation between school and like socializing, if that makes sense. But I totally see where you're coming from because like in the back of your mind, you're not competing with other people, which I'll get to eventually in this episode, but just as a foreshadowing, don't think about what other people are doing because that will just add too much pressure to your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think that another challenging thing mental health-wise in law school is there's a lot of like, you kind of get imposter syndrome where you just feel stupid all the time. Like you're getting everything wrong. You don't understand what's going on or whatever. Like even though eventually you get it, but like I literally, you know, I've never felt as stupid as when a law professor made me feel stupid. Like, you know, like growing up, there's always that, like, there was that, like a tweet or something going around recently that I saw that was like, you don't feel stupid until you're sitting at the dinner table with your dad trying to do a math problem and you just don't understand how it works.
My dad is an accountant. Yeah. So I don't know any math.
My dad's an architect and he's really good at like geometry and math and stuff. I actually vividly remember this because like, I think I was like in fourth grade and I just didn't understand it. Like my brain just wouldn't comprehend anything. And I remember crying because I felt so stupid. And literally I did not feel that in undergrad. Well, actually no, with econometrics I did because I just did not understand that class. But in law school, I've gotten to that point a few times and it's just an icky feeling. But it's also, I think it's a part of the growth because like no pain, no gain in some ways. And you know, your brain is a muscle and you're training it essentially. And it happens a lot, but the way that I try to cope with it is like, I just try not to have an ego about that kind of stuff anymore where I'm like hard on myself. I'm like, you know what? It's time to be humble and just accept it. It's nothing personal. Like that the professor saying to me or whatever was said during like a debate during class or whatever.
That is something I had to grow through.
It's just one of those things. And I think that it also happens, like, let's say you make a mistake at your internship with a project, which has happened a few times to me. And like, you can't dwell on it. You just have to move forward and you have to learn from it. So I think that law school definitely taught me how to do that. So I don't feel as overwhelmed with that anymore. But there, there have been some times where I was just like, why am I even here?
It's interesting that you bring this up because I got the worst anxiety from cold calls. I absolutely hated being cold called. I do not like being on the spot. I'm the type of person that's, I'm a quiet thinker and I don't want to be saying it out loud because I'm stressing. Oh my God, I'm going to make a fool of myself or something like that. And I feel like I grew a lot since then. I mean, obviously now I still don't like them, but I definitely
but you can handle
them.
Yeah.
I can handle them. Whereas I was sitting in contracts and I remember my professor just asked question after question after question. If you don't get it right, she'll keep bartering you and asking you the same question over and over. And like my face went red like a tomato. Everyone was like staring at me. It was awful. And like, I actually, at one point, went to her office and my anxiety was so bad, I broke down in her office. Aww. And after that, she never cold called on me again. It was crazy. But like, you have to be like open with your professors because they know how hard it is too. And like, they can totally relate to you. So I think she kind of felt bad for me because after that, I was like way more confident in class and like, I just felt better about myself and my anxiety lessened so much. It was wild, but just don't be scared of your professors. They're there to help you and they went through it too.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think that one thing that like I struggle with sometimes is like when it comes to criticism, like if I'm working on something and I'm getting feedback on something, I'm fine with that. Like I don't take it personally, but I also think that it really, really helps when the person who's doing the criticizing has some positive reinforcement in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so that you're not completely like demoralized. And obviously like I'm not saying that, oh, like people need to go easy on me because like I need to be like, you know, praised all the time. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. But you can only take so much criticism in a row. Like you need some like little bits and pieces. And I think that most of our professors are good at recognizing that because they realize that we don't know anything. We're law students. We're not meant to be experts, right? As soon as we like step through the door. So
yeah,
I mean, it's really nice that your professor stopped calling on you after that because that must have been such a relief.
It was embarrassing, but I mean, yeah, I mean, in terms of that, I struggle with that. It's really hard for me to take criticism. I'm a very sensitive person. I actually took a personality test and it said not to be a lawyer. So that's the irony in all of this.
What
but
was the
I'm
personality
doing it.
Test that you took?
So it's like,
was it the Myers-Briggs?
Like, yes, it was Myers-Briggs. Yeah. And they were like, number one personality test, whatever, don't be that. You can be a social worker, a nurse, because I'm a people person and I like making people happy. And I don't really like giving out criticism, so I can't take it. And it was very hard for me, and I had to learn the hard way in law school for sure. And and I feel like I've grown a lot since, you know, doing internships. I mean, my first internship, I worked at Paramount Studios. Like, you know, I had that major imposter syndrome, like, why me, why me? But then I felt like as time went on, and like currently now with Viacom, I have so much more confidence in what I do and the work that I am able to give, and I'm not stepping on anyone's toes or like freaking out about it. So it definitely makes a big difference, and it takes time, and you have to be patient, because if you're not, it's but I mean, in terms of like dealing with the stress and everything, like how do you make sure that if there is, you know, potential anxiety or something like that, how do you manage it?
Yeah, well, I can break it into two scenarios. So one scenario is where I just have a lot going on and that's stressing me out and giving me anxiety. In that case, making a to-do list and compartmentalizing what I need to do that day and only thinking about that is the best. But then there are times where I am so busy, I literally don't have time to be anxious. So it kind of like bottles up, and then it explodes later into a massive like just freak out basically. So I'm still trying to learn how to not get that way, but sometimes I literally just feel like I have all of the stuff I need to do. I don't have time to be distracted by this right now. Like, we'll cry later. It's fine. So
you're not alone.
I don't think that it's the best way to handle it, but you know, sometimes it happens. But I think that the best way to manage stress in law school specifically is to plan as much as you can, like plan ahead as much as you can, because I think that a lot of the triggers for anxiety that I have in law school just has to do with the sheer amount of stuff that I have to get through. It's not necessarily that it's all like incredibly difficult and impossible. While there are challenging assignments or challenging tasks that I have to do or complete, they're all very doable, but it's just a matter of being proactive and starting them. So, I mean, I talked about Asana before in depth in a previous episode, but that's one thing that really helps me. And it's just like trying to plan ahead, taking out the guesswork so nothing creeps up on me, and preparing mentally for the fact that I'm going to be really busy for a couple weeks and it's going to suck, but I'm going to get through it. And then my one thing that I'm still improving on is just starting the work instead of whining about it and procrastinating. I used to do that more. Now I'm more like, okay, we know that it's not going to go anywhere this way. I just need to start, because as soon as I start working, I feel better. So it's like just planning and being proactive, I think, are the best ways to manage stress. And, you know, you just go with the flow sometimes. You know, you can't plan everything, but I try to prepare. And what about you?
I mean, like I said earlier in an earlier episode, I also make a schedule for the week in advance, so I know what I have to do for the day. And if I don't get to it, it's not the end of the world, but I try to get as much done as I can. Like, I even have this scheduled into my calendar. I have to see it and I have to visualize it, or else I'm not going to do it. And it's going to stress me out even more if I'm just piling it on. 100%. So I try to do that. Yeah. So I try to do that weekly. I'm also like the opposite of a procrastinator. I do everything on time. I actually do everything like way in advance, which could be detrimental in some cases, but I always make sure that I finish my work early, because
yeah, me too. Yeah.
I just, I don't know how people procrastinate or work at night. It's like the weirdest thing to me.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not a night owl at all. And like for me, it's more like I'll like whine about doing the work because maybe I just don't want to, but I'll still start it like within a reasonable amount of time because like leaving stuff to the last minute stresses me out the most. So I try to avoid that.
Yes. And I've also noticed that when I'm busier, so like when I have another job or something like that, I actually prioritize so much better than like if I have like way too much free time because then I actually do push it off. So I try to make sure that I'm constantly busy with things. I don't know why, but I just am way more productive that way. Mm-hmm. Also just like talk to friends. I'm an open book. I don't like keeping things bottled in. Like literally you would know if I'm upset. I do not keep things in at all. Like I vent to my friends daily. I don't know how they're still friends with me, but I just do, including you. I don't even know. I do it so much. And also see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Don't be afraid to do that. At our school, for instance, we have a psychiatrist, a licensed psychiatrist or psychologist. I'm not sure.
I think psychologist. Okay. I don't think that the person at our school is allowed to prescribe medication.
But anyway, so we get 3 appointments per semester for free. And I think that's also something really important to utilize. I'm taking it upon myself to make an appointment with her as well. So I think it's important. I think everyone should do it.
Honestly.
I think sometimes it's so easy to just like vent to a third party. Whereas like, I don't want to put that burden on my friends.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it helps to have someone who doesn't know you and also has the tools to help you because they have a professional education. And like, I think I think one of the big things too, is like, if you're really struggling, like don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, don't be afraid to seek out a therapist or talk to your family about what you're struggling about and all that stuff. Just because like, you don't have to do this alone, I feel like. And, you know, as type A people, we tend to be like, no, it's like, blah, blah, blah.
Am I type
like,
A? I don't know.
I think you are. I would say you are. Really, we're pretty similar in a lot of ways, like in terms of how we approach stuff and our mentality. I feel like you're pretty type A in some. Yeah.
I never knew that about, I have to look that up. Maybe no, I'll, you're, that well, in my no, personality
like you're very
test.
Driven. I think you have leadership skills and like, I feel like, you know, you kind of go out and get what you want at the end of the day and you work towards it and you work very hard for it. Not to say that type B people don't do that, but like, I think that most lawyers are type A's for sure.
But like I said, I'm not supposed to be a lawyer. Okay, whatever. Enough about that. But
you're here. It doesn't matter.
But just to like wrap up what I do in terms of my stress. So I work out. I have my Peloton. I love Peloton. If you want to follow me, I am at Kayla. Yes, I am an influencer on Peloton. but also just like taking walks around the block. I remember like my mom coming in and being like, Kayla, you've literally been sitting there and studying so much. Get up, go walk around the block. Because I'm like falling asleep at the table and she can see that I'm just like exhausted. Like my face would literally go like white and I had nothing in me anymore. And that was, I mean, that was 1L, but
that is burnout.
I mean, it's burnout and it's real. And then the one thing that I actually do that I make sure that I do over finals, and this is like the one thing I look forward to every single time. Okay. So I make sure to like do my studying, whatever. And then I'm like, okay, have dinner. After dinner, I usually either like take a warm bath with bubbles or I'll go in the shower and then I won't get out until I can recite my entire attack sheet or I have to like recite elements in my head. And
I know
then
other
I can
people
get
that do that too. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's odd, but for some reason,
some people
it works
do their best
me.
Thinking in the shower. I think that's fine.
Yes, or the singing. But and so after that, once I'm able to do it, and I'm like, okay, I got it down. We're good to go. I recite it to my dad, and he's like, I don't know what this is, but cool, you got it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch two episodes of my show that I'm watching, and then go to sleep. And it works every time.
Absolutely.
It Like, it's like the one thing I look forward to every day that I study. I'm like, okay,
that's
I know
really
I'm going to go home, watch The Office, watch Criminal Minds. And it just makes me feel so at ease. And I don't feel like I need to be studying when that mm-hmm. happens. Cause like I've done what I needed
need a
to
break.
Do during the day.
Yeah. You just, okay. I think that that's really awesome. Like for me, I also enjoy bubble baths because I do have achy joints and aww. Epsom salts are amazing and so relaxing. Yes. But I like to, you know, draw a nice bath at the end of a long day of studying. And for me, that kind of stuff is like, I don't think about anything else. I'll like mm-hmm. bring my iPad. I used to have a tray that used to fit my old bathtub, like a bath tray, best thing ever. I would like light some candles and then like have like, I don't know, prepare some type of fancy beverage, not even alcoholic really. Sometimes I have a soda stream, which I love. So sometimes I'll put like fruit juice in it,
fine.
Like with the fizzy water and stuff, or just like, just treat yourself to something nice. Like watch a movie, read a book, just escape the world of studying. Because I mm-hmm. think that if you condition yourself to be working all the time and have your brain on all the time, it's just really not sustainable. And like, especially during finals, like the way that I handle it is like, I like getting up early and getting stuff done early because I'm just not a night owl at all. My brain shuts off after like 8 p.m. And then if I have to study after 8 p.m., I'm just miserable the entire time. so I think that, yeah. So like, I try to do that. I take breaks and then I'm like, okay, like the motivating factor is after X o'clock, like whenever I decide I don't want to study that day, I can take a bath or I'm going to watch a movie or like, I'm just like not going to do anything. It's important to have time like that in your schedule to literally do nothing.
Yeah.
Because your brain needs time to recover. And also getting enough sleep is really important because I think there are a bunch of like scientific studies that show that like your brain retains information while you're sleeping. So it like files everything that you learned while you're sleeping. So sleep is super important.
Oh yeah. I dream about the elements. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I've literally had stress dreams like that before though. Like I know that I'm getting stressed out if in my dream I am dreaming about, the result came out and like I failed. Recently I was working on this amicus brief and about copyright law and it was a very stressful 2 weeks, the process of revising it and writing it and getting it filed. In my dream, I was lecturing about my topic to a classroom and I was being grilled and I didn't know what to say.
Oh my God.
And I just woke up and I was like, oh my God.
That sounds awful.
You know, sometimes your sleep is stressful too, but just, you know, try to take it day by day, I guess.
Yeah. It's just important to take care of yourself and mm-hmm. figure out ways to just wind down and relax, have a glass of wine at the end of the night, because I used to study with wine literally at like nighttime. My friend would come over and we literally would study with wine and goldfish. So
you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes, you know, if that's what's going to help you study, go for it. I mean, obviously not advocating for like drugs or actually having a drinking problem, but like sometimes it helps to have something like that, like a nice glass of wine. I think that's totally fine. Yeah. I think that it's also important to find things that calm you down too, just because you're, you know, high functioning, high performing as a law student. And like for me, for example, I think regular exercise is fantastic and getting up first thing in the morning, doing something for myself before I do all these other things. And it's very centering. But that also goes hand in hand with also nourishing your body with what you're eating. So I feel that I feel my best when I'm eating healthy and like, I don't restrict, but it's like, if I want something like junk food or whatever, like I'll have it because like life's too short to not have it. But, but I find that like 80-20, whatever, but like for most of the time, if I eat healthy, my brain feels like it functions a lot better too. So I think that just taking care of your body, being kind to yourself. I have a Spotify playlist. It's called The Suna Side Up. and it has all of my, like, all the songs that make me happy in it, and I add to it periodically.
I love that.
So if I'm in, like, a crappy mood, I'll just put that on, and, you know, it helps. It really does. It actually has been proven that, like, music can impact your mood, and it can, mm-hmm. I think I once saw a study that it can actually improve your workouts too. I don't remember what the neurological basis for it was, but it's been proven.
So that would make sense why every time I listen to EDM, for some reason, I get like my names, I get like my top score on Peloton. I think it's just like the beat drop makes yep. me like go so much harder, and I don't know why, but it does. So that totally makes sense. I'm going to listen to your playlist because you are the music queen aficionado. So
yeah, but at the same time, like, you need to make one for yourself too, because well, like,
Justin Bieber. Hello.
Yeah. See, like, I'm not a Justin Bieber fan. So like the stuff in my, like, that's the thing. It's just stuff like that. It's personal to you, but I think that music is a fantastic way to cope with stress and anxiety, just because, like, whether you're exercising or you're literally just lying down listening to a song. I remember during 2L fall semester, I was working on my law review note, and I was really stressed out because I had a deadline, and it took way longer than I thought it was going to. And I put on my playlist to, like, help keep me going. And then I just, like, had a mini dance party in my apartment for like 5 minutes, like one song that came on, and I just felt so much better. I got the endorphins.
It's totally something I forgot to mention. When I'm studying for finals, I do dance breaks. Like, I literally do dance breaks during my study finals. Literally I would do that. So when I would study with a group, though, this was obviously pre-COVID, mm-hmm. When we would study in a group, I would automatically feel burnt out. And I was like, guys, dance party. And then I would like play once, and we would have one song just to like get up and move and dance. And then we'd go back to it. But highly recommend that, because literally like the serotonin just like shot up in my brain, and I was just able to work. So I need to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the reminder.
And I think it's also like just moving your body after being stationary for so long. Like, I think going for walks is a great thing too. And like, I recently moved to a way more walkable area, which I'm super happy about. And yeah, it's just, you know, law school is a lot. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of, you know, it can be really, really overwhelming. And, you know, sometimes if you're just having a horrible day, just stop. Stop working. Go to bed early. Watch a movie. And just like, tomorrow's a new day. Like, you know, sometimes that's just what you have to do. And it's a journey. It really is.
I think that's a great point to end off with. If you're burnt out, just stop, because it's not going to do you any good, and you just need to relax. But we hope that you took all of these self-care tips to heart. We want to help you. We know how difficult it is. You will get to where we are someday.
You'll get through it. That's the thing. You learn and you get better at it. It's just sometimes when it rains, it pours, and it happens to all of us. And you just
happening to me now, but
honestly, same. So I'm already stressed about the bar. Yes. And like, it's like a year away.
Okay. Well, we don't have to talk about that.
We don't have to talk about that right now.
That will just start unnecessary stress. But listen, guys, we have loved talking with you. We're going to be taking a little hiatus, but we will be back. And make sure to stay up to date on the Instagram, because will be letting you know when we are back with new episodes.
Yes.
But we love you all, and we thank you so much for listening to us, because we absolutely love doing this for you.
And we will be back in a couple of weeks. We hope that everyone stays safe and sane.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.